Are you struggling to effectively train both your customers and channel partners on your product? Well, NetExam is the all-in-one solution you need. As a leading customer and partner education platform, NetExam is purpose-built to help companies like yours deliver engaging, personalized training experiences that drive product adoption, customer success, and partner enablement. NetExam has worked for many years with companies that have the most advanced partner channels in the world, like Oracle, Dell, and Johnson & Johnson, with advanced features like customizable learning tracks, interactive content, robust analytics, and modern AI tools. NetExam empowers you to create seamless education programs that scale with your business for both your customers and your valuable channel partners. Stop wasting time and resources on ineffective training methods. Partner with NetExam and unlock the power of comprehensive customer and partner education to grow your business. Visit netexam.com to learn more today. Hello and welcome to CLAB, the Customer Education Laboratory, where we always explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate all those myths and all that bad advice you might be hearing out there that's going to stop your company's growth and learning dead in its tracks. I'm Dave Darrington, and today we're joined by two people, not one. This is going to be a three-person conversation I'm really excited about. Gentlemen, can you both introduce yourself, starting with Brett, real quick?
Sure. Brett Strauss. I'm the CEO and founder of NetExam.
Great to have you.
I'm Dan Boyle. I have a background in partner enablement, sales enablement, and customer training.
It's fantastic. Okay, got the right people in the room. And we've already warmed up a little bit, but I always like to do this. I always do a day of the year, International Day of the Year, and I pick one. We do our reactions. I'm actually going to give you two to pick from and say which is your favorite. Today, on the list is National Trading Card Day. I don't know if any of you or either of you are into that. And it's Twin Peaks Day, of all things.
Well, I looked it up, and it also is apparently National Corn Chip Day. So being in Texas, I would have to make that my number.
National Corn Chip. Yeah. Where do you go to get your best corn chips that, you know, you just can't resist?
Uncle Julio's in Deep Ellum, Dallas, Texas.
Ooh, okay.
They make them in house. They're awesome.
All right. Shout out to Uncle Julio's. And Dan, what's your pick for the day?
I have picked Twin Peaks. I haven't heard that in a long time. Nice.
Me neither.
As long as you mean not the restaurant, right? The show.
Yeah, actually, it was funny because last month, I was with my girlfriend and we were looking at, she wanted to get a truck and she ended up in North Bend, Washington, which is, and I looked past and, well, we just had a passing, you know, of our favorite, yeah, you know, David Lynch.
Director.
And they had, if we went through the town and it was 8 a.m. on a Sunday or something, and here's all these flowers all arranged all the way down the street around the cafe there, which was I don't remember the name of the cafe. It was, Weeds, I think. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. We're warmed up, but that was kind of interesting to see. You see those cultural references and like, here you are on a random Sunday and it's in your face.
It's amazing. It's been 30 years since then?
Or 40 years
since then? And it's still.
Yeah. It's still there.
Still remembered.
It is nuts. Okay. Let's get into this. So I always like to start off with a little bit of an intro and then a frame up. And for this one, we're going to do something a little bit different. What's really important on CLAB to us is that we're getting into conversations with not just, you know, Brett, we're thrilled to have you here because this is a platform that I didn't know anything about as I needed it, right? I didn't know it was there. And NetExam is a really powerful platform. Your team has given me a behind the scenes look. I've done demos. I'm like, okay, we've got to talk about this because you also do the customer cohort, which is really interesting. And Dan, you're here because you have this deep experience set in developing partner, you know, training, but not just that, internal sales enablement. And together we kind of complete a picture. So to frame it up, look, let's think about maturity and growth. I had over the last decade, like a lot of people, fallen into my passion job. My passion job is I love to teach. I was in customer success for Gainsight, and I started working on, well, how do we solve these problems around learning? And at first it was, really the first problem I set out to challenge or to address was really this partner challenge wrapped up in something that I couldn't see it. It was like, okay, I can't get an administrator that has to use all these tools and know all this stuff and represent us and be successful and validated and understand how we scale all of our other people, but it takes a lot. I didn't have anything to help with that. So I'd like to start off with that. Like, here we are trying to pet back into what is partner training? How does all this stuff work together? And let's frame it up. So Dan, I want to point this to you first and ask you kind of a question is, where does partner training actually come from and begin? Because I've always seen like a peer where there's, hey, I've got to work with this person now, or now I have Deloitte and or Accenture at my front door and I've got to help them. Where does all this come from? Where's the genesis of it? Brett, you chime in too, but Dan, I'm pointing you.
Okay. So I too inherited partner training as a purview. The way I see training is basically the company needs to scale at some point, and it's usually fairly early that they need to scale, and they bring in the partner resources to sell. It's a selling piece that then requires a technical component to be able to sell and to train customers and sell services, right? So they have this piece, and because it's a sales function and a technical function, it actually has needs from both your sales enablement side of the house and your technical training side of the house. And so you have both of those groups working with partners to roll out either things that are exactly the same as what you have or custom things for these partners to help them sell into their markets. So they are kind of a blend over a sales enablement and a customer training function.
Cool. Brett, can you add on to that a little bit more? I'm getting it now, and it's complicated. Let's go further.
Well, I mean, the tricky thing is that you're asking somebody that does not work for your company to represent your business. And that is a huge trust because they're the face of your company, even though they aren't paid by your organization. So there's a huge need to get those individuals to properly represent your business, to be knowledgeable, to be understanding, to help solve the problems that the customers have and help make their buying experience, hopefully, better, smoother, and quicker. And you have to kind of imbue these people with this knowledge to be able to represent you the best way you would expect your own internal people to represent you. Now, those people don't work for your company. They're getting paid by a third business. And that there's the rub, right? I've always said that in training, there's only two ways to get people to do training. It's threats and bribes. That's the only two things that work, right? Hell, it worked when I was a kid. The threat was coming home with a C or a D, and it was going to be a bad life for me. But even with adult education, it's the same thing. Now, with HR training, it's easy. Do your sexual harassment test by Friday or don't pick up your paycheck next week. There's the threat. Guess what? You get near 100% completion. But when that person doesn't work for your company, you have a different type of dynamic in a relationship. Here's the trick. What you can do is you can bribe that organization's C-level executives and say, you know what? If you get 20% of your salespeople certified on my top 20 products or 20% of my top products, then I'll give you an extra 3% margin on every deal you close this year. That then encourages that C-level executive to use the threat on their employees saying, you need to complete this training because it is financially beneficial to our business and to you as an individual because you're going to make higher sales and you're going to get better margins. We're all going to win. But really, the threats and bribes, it works in every scenario. The problem with partners is that you do not have the power to threaten. You only have the power to bribe and encourage them, and you need to have that built into your platform.
Really well put.
And sometimes it could be something as simple as, hey, if your organization gets certified, we're going to have a search finder on our website to help customers find partners. And we're going to put you at the top of that list. And we're going to give you a logo to put on your website that says your company's been certified to represent us, right? We're going to do something to make you stand out from the other ones. Because I argue that it's just as important to know who isn't certified on your products than who is. We call that deadwood. And you want to know who your deadwood is because you don't want to be investing large amounts of dollars in those individuals if they aren't meeting the bare minimum so that of that relationship, which is training levels.
Right.
I want to add to that in that your certification or your training completion can actually block you from being able to sell product or get access to product knowledge. Based on how your company is set up and how complex they are, these pieces are talking to each other at a point where you need to stay certified in order to get access to certain things.
Right.
Yeah. And we've worked with some industries, especially like the insurance industry, where you are not allowed to sell insurance unless you have reached certifications and proven to the state level that you have that certification. And because of our, the NetExam's deep integration with the PRM system on the back end, Salesforce or Dynamics or Fusion, yeah. Those privileges can be instantly gratified, meaning the moment you pass that exam, switch gets flipped, leads start getting generated, margins start getting adjusted, privileges start being earned. It's a stick and carrot relationship, but
right.
because of the deep PRM integrations, all of those can be delivered instantaneously, which you really have to do. People don't like waiting.
Okay. I think you've done a really exceptional job, Brett and Dan, focusing our conversation. And I'd like to, I want to telescope out just a little bit and then bring us back. So we were pre-gaming and talking about, not getting warmed up, getting to know each other again, and then talking about the bigger picture. So here's where I'm coming from, guys. And those in the audience, you know, breaking the fourth wall, I want you to really pay attention to this and think about where you are in your journey, not your personal journey, your learning journey, your customer's journey, and your partner's journey, and your company's overall maturity. I've gotten into a place where, again, like I said, when we were discussing before, that all of a sudden partner training emerges as a need. And I go, well, okay, isn't this like customer education? Or isn't this like internal enablement? Yes and no. And we're going to get into all the guts of that. But where it's always been a challenge is that we need to all work together, partnering with, you know, partnering with partner training, partner with all these other teams to level up. And that's where, okay, so now I'm going to go to the side and say, I'm an Atlassian. And previously I was at Service Rocket. And I have been on both sides of what we call our ATP program, the Atlassian Training Partners. And that's part of our overall partner program, where now we're able to scale. Dan, you brought that up. And this is the problem I want to get to. We're trying to scale. And now we're not, and the big trend in the industry has been towards scaled digital success. Cool. Great. We can do that. That's customer education wrapped into customer success, all that kind of stuff. That's on demand. What we don't talk about the next level of maturity beyond the initial growth of a program is, okay, what comes next? What comes next is I've got to get all these other people and basically affect a digital transformation or a change management motion like a rainbow. It's I start here and we get content, and then I have to get partners trained up so they can help me because I can't train everybody myself. So we're moving pieces of scale up the pipeline and allowing our field to help us out. And that even can get to a point where we do a train the trainer, right? Partner trainer comes in, trains some people inside a company. Those company are the enablement people now that might be working in L&D of the company. So it's all fit. That's how I look at the world. So let's go from there. And Brett, I want to give you the mic first, and Dan will do this for you as well. I'd like you to talk a little bit about NetExam first to set the stage and talk about the background story and what and where it came from, where how you got into this too, because your all of our journeys are important in bringing context.
Well, I didn't grow up in high school, college, dreaming about training channel partners for a living, but
you're here.
You know, back in the late 90s, we built my CTO and I built a content management system. Which was big back then. Unfortunately, it was too big. There were 8,000 other people building content management systems. We got a little traction. We had about a dozen customers, but we just couldn't compete on the level because there were too many coming out. One of our customers happened to be McAfee. Their headquarters in California, but their main office is here in North Texas. And someone at McAfee said, hey, do you think we could use this content management system for training? Because we have a training goal that we want to meet. And we said, well, yes, it would take some investment. And so McAfee basically became our sugar daddy for about 2 or 3 years and put a fair amount of money into our organization, creating customizations. It just so happened that McAfee was training their channel partners. They weren't looking to train their employees or anybody else. So at the end of that 3-year period, we kind of looked at our product and we said, look, we've got something kind of unique here. Every other LMS out there is an HR LMS, and we've actually built something by accident that is specific for this niche industry. And we looked at it, said, it seems like there's a lot of people out there that could benefit from it. McAfee at the time had 4,500 employees, but they had 75,000 partners. And I said, look, just the number of scale there, that just seems like there. I told my CTO, I said, there's a lot of opportunity here. I said, I think we should turn our back on any HR opportunity because that's going to divide us. It's going to make us invest in things that most people don't need. And let's just double down on this partner niche. And we agreed to do it. I think there was some hesitancy there because we had to turn away 90% of the phone calls that were coming.
Of course.
But we also felt like we could get a very big chunk of a very small piece of the market and really dominate. And that's really what happened. And every customer we brought on after that was almost exclusively channel partner training we brought on. Dell, AT&T, Johnson & Johnson, Cisco, Oracle. Oracle had 160,000 users on our platform. And so we just grew by specializing. And by not taking the HR dollars, we didn't have to invest in HR-related features that our customers just wouldn't use. So any new feature we added was going to be for the benefit of channel partners and customer training. We eventually rolled out customer training because it really was a nice, clean fit. External, you know, we're talking about people that are external of your organization, right? That's the big difference.
Right.
They either work for you or they don't work for you. And the folks that don't work for you, they have a lot of very close similarities in the training goals and the way you deliver training. So that's really kind of how we kind of Forrest Gumped our way into this portion of the industry. It wasn't by plan by any means. We just kind of got to a point where we said, hey, we've got something really unique here. Let's keep it unique. Now
you niched down, right?
We really did.
Solved the core problem.
That's always been my goal. Inch wide and a mile deep, right? Do something narrow, do it better than anybody else. And then you've got really great opportunities and great buyout opportunities down the road from organizations that want to get into that space. And of course, every LMS on the market now claims that they do partner training. They all claim that they do customer training. But if you aren't built from the floor up to do that, then you're just marketing that. You're just telling people to do that. It's an add-on, and you add a web page onto your website saying, oh yeah, we do that too. But you're missing all of the key nuanced features necessary to manage a global partner organization. And there are hundreds of them.
Yeah. Okay. Let's stick a pin in that because I want to learn more about the differentiation of NetExam as a platform. Particularly because I think you're particularly interesting because that partner part is so important to us to scale the customer part. Because here's my perspective, and this isn't the only part. When you talk about a channel partner, you're training them on a lot of different things. One could be training them to train. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to clarify that. We're not just exclusively training a partner to train other people, third party, but that's part of it. And that ability of a partner to know what we know, our internal people, do the implementation, understand everything that our people would. I remember being at many companies where systems architects would come in to me and say, well, Dave, I don't understand this. Do we have any training? And I go, sure, we have all this customer training. Can I just use that? Well, yeah. And that's how our partner training got started, which I don't think that's how people really think about it. I think about how can we win by satisfying multiple needs at one time, right?
And you absolutely can. You just have different goals for what the training should achieve, right? I'm training my partners to move the finance needle, right? I want to go from $500,000 to $750 million in sales in a year. That's your primary goal. And you're not training them just for the joy of training. You're training partners so that the customer has a better experience buying the product, so you can convince them to buy the product, so they can onboard quicker and be more satisfied with the product. Customers' needs are, I want to learn how to use this quicker. I want to be more dedicated to the brand. When it's time to renew, I want to come back and renew with you because I don't have frustrations having used that product. So there's some similarities. I mean, I would argue that you're really training your customers through your partners most of the time, right? You're putting the knowledge within your partner's brain so they can provide it to the customer as part of their purchasing process. But you mentioned earlier about, you know, authorized training providers. At NetExam, we support that. We have you can build in ATPs where you can not only assign people in as an ATP, but then they can have a siloed version of NetExam with the training content that they can put their users on and manage their users. And you might have 1,000 different people doing that exact same thing. So
yes,
that's another one of those little nuanced things that helps you build a program. Because if you have an LMS and it doesn't have that feature, you know, you're good luck. You're either going to wait, you know, 12 months to get that functionality, or you're just going to live without it.
Amen. Well, I think this is where, Dan, you can provide additional context that, you know, it's not just mine and other experiences, but you've been there in the trench. And now here we are. Let's pivot over to you. Can you introduce yourself, you know, in more detail? Tell me, like, your origin story. Tell our audience your origin story. And then bring us up to speed on where you and Brett NetExam got connected, and you've used the platform to solve your problems. Tell me more about, we've got a lot to talk about today. So let's start off with the origin story.
Yeah, that's a good story. So I grew up in the world of customer education. So I was part of a group that did, the company was called Xilinx. They currently got bought out by AMD. We did P&L, and then we moved over to more of a cost recovery model. We did both. We had an ATP program. And then we got merged with sales enablement, which was fascinating. So I was like, wow, this is great. These two teams are working together. So we, at that point, we then, along with sales enablement, we got partner enablement from a training perspective. So now we were doing customer education, sales enablement, and partner training. And then by default, we then got pulled into, like, you know, new hire, bring up for technical things for engineering. Right. So anyone who needed technical content would kind of come to us, because we had not only the early access stuff that wasn't 100% polished for customers, but we had the fully built, you know, perfectly tuned customer education content. We had both. Yeah. So we could serve you up what you needed, you know, as you needed it. And then after that, I moved over to Juniper Networks, where I ran training and certification. And in that one, it was more of like creating custom content, a more traditional customer education approach, right? Custom engagements with partners for what they needed to get certified and stay certified and be in alignment with the company. So that was those two pieces. From a NetExam perspective, we came across NetExam kind of how Brett said, right? So yeah. We had sales enablement. Part of that was channel enablement. Channel enablement made up about 2/3 of our audience, right? So when we heard they had something that was focused on the channel, we were thinking, great, because we can work with the internal people, but this is another group that we don't have a lot of contact with necessarily. So let's get a tool that's built for that. And so that's when we brought them in, and they were fantastic. They also were... they customized a lot of things for whatever we needed it to do, because, you know, every company wants to do these special little things, and sometimes an LMS provider will do those and sometimes they won't. And I've worked with both, and this was great for customizing pretty much anything we needed.
Well, question for you then is, Dan, at that point, you settled on a NetExam. Did you completely fully replace your customer portal at that point and now start pivoting over to use this as your broader solution?
Okay. So basically we were a P&L. That got closed and we turned into a cost recovery. When we went to cost recovery, we actually became a full ATP model. No direct training. All direct training was through internal resources, right? So we took customer training, gave it to internal resources. They went out and trained people on it at a direct customer if they needed it, right? Now, at that company, it was almost 50-50 channel revenue to, you know, direct revenue. So you had a lot of technical people who really could walk in the door with this content and train it. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Then we moved over to realized we wanted to do that's when that closed down, we had to close down that particular LMS because it was too focused on internal tech training. And that's when we looked at NetExam. And also NetExam saved us a lot of money.
Well, that's what we want to hear. And if I can riff on both of what you said, I found myself at this place several times where a good customer LMS is a good customer LMS, but the nuance that we need to invoke for internal and partner training is it goes deeper. There's a lot more that we need. We have to not just certify, but we have to validate, verify, check, automate. It's so hard when now you're saying, okay, well, I have a university program and it's scaling and it's fine, it's all on demand. But the people, the interstitial space of making that process is so hard. Because if you have to do it all manually, like I've done it manually, where I go, okay, we'll get a class, set up a Zoom. No, better yet, we'll get everybody in a room. We'll do all the training. We'll do it every month. The cost was, you know, exorbitant. And now if I can have a platform where it can help me up, not just automate, but scale through. Yeah. And again, the angle we're talking about is how do we scale the live part of the work we have to do with ever expanding topology of a customer base. And that's where this all comes into play.
Yeah, we had a lot of the other things about partner training is in some ways it really lines up with the internal side of it in that a lot of it's assigned, right? So a lot of it has to be assigned to different groups and then additionally at different times. Like in a product rollout, it doesn't just all hit the partners at once. It may hit them different geos at different times. So you have to be able to assign this to different groups at different times and then get the reporting back from that perspective. That's a thing that the customer training does that for large enterprise engagements. Like if you had a multi-year enterprise engagement, it's like that. But a lot of your training isn't that in customer training, right? It's a couple classes.
Right.
This is that side of it. Plus there's the managing of it, which is partners have two sets of management structure, one inside your company, one inside the partner, right? You have to have the ability to report to both of them what's happening in the partner ecosystem, right?
That's right.
Typically, you don't do that for the customer. You just give them reports. You in the system, you got to give them access to that type of information so they can push their own people, see their own dashboards, double check the data, things like that.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a situation where you have a handful of people in a partner organization that have all your certifications, because when they leave, those certifications walk out the door. So the partner organization needs to be able to come in and they need to be able to physically assign people to courses and say, you take this, you take that. I want to divide this up. Because when those people leave, the certifications go with them and they need to get people recertified. So there needs to be some level of control in the partner organization. And then you throw on top of that, you know, you've got, you know, you're doing business in 87 countries, you're doing business in 27 languages. You've got all these different requirements. Some people like to charge for training. Some people, we have one customer that they would charge for training and then they would reimburse you the money when you showed up because they had so many people no showing for their courses.
Yeah.
And you might charge for training and maybe your training's in New York City. Well, okay, there's a whole myriad of features you need, right? You can't have people canceling the day before the course because you've lost the opportunity. You've got automatic wait listing. You've got all these different features that we've built in through the years that just from having experienced this and dealing with customers that are using the product. So it's a sticky thing to deal with. And when you multiply that times a global rollout, which most large organizations are, it just adds to the complexity.
Yeah. Also, if you're training partners and customers, there may be content that's available only to partners and not customers. So that's a thing you need to think about. In addition, you may have content that's only available to certain partners, not all partners. So you have to be able to control the access to that content as well.
Yeah. And customers, you want to provide training for all the products you've ever had, right? So you're training your partners on the latest and greatest stuff, but you might have a customer that's using a product they bought 12, 15 years ago. They still need that training content available. But that does give you some pretty good insight. If you've got a customer that's training on a 12-year-old product, that should, in a good external extended enterprise LMS, someone should notice that and see an opportunity to upsell them on a new upgrade, if you will, up to that product.
Right. So, okay, you're giving me some really good ideas by you both riffing off each other, and maybe I could just tee up a few things that what I'd really like to do is kind of like, let's put partner training in kind of a box and talk about this, what you're just talking about, this differentiation between, I know customer education, right? And this is why what I'm trying to do as a customer education professional is actually move up the life cycle. Where I see all of us going together is that anybody in software education can understand what is sales enablement. Why is that important? I worked at Outreach, a sales engagement company, and I focused on this a lot and learned so much about that process. It's different from customer ed. Partner training is even more different because there's so many different nuances to it. Kind of like internal enablement, where you want to share, like you said, stuff that the customer shouldn't see necessarily, right? That's the behind the scenes sausage making stuff, or it might be confidential sales information. I sell this in this way. We have this pricing. You're not going to talk about that with, you don't expose those details in sales. But similar to customer training, you have to know the same thing that a customer knows and more. How do we use this app? What's in it for me? Why do I use it? When I look at a partner, they're not just doing the implementation. They're doing a whole array of different things. And now we have to bless them and say, look, I trust you, Jane. You're the best out there, partner. You can do all the things. Your team's actually got 10 people on it. You're training, you're doing implementation, support. All this is where what my life was in Service Rocket. And now as an Atlassian team member, I'm on the other side of that going, holy cow. There's a whole, like, and Dan, I was trying to, I want you to channel your energy around all these things that are very difficult, right? So maybe we can talk through, okay, we've talked enough about what partner training is. We get it. Let's go back to the access management and let's set that stage, because I think this is a really, really important part where the complexity of what's the motion of engaging a partner. And then, like you said, we have to give, this is where, and Brett, you can talk to the points about systemically how we address this. I'm going to take a partner from a company A, B, and C. Company A is my premier partner. I've got B, which is like kind of between, and I got C, might be just a general catch-all company that can do training and can do basic stuff, but they're not really tightly associated with a big, it's not like Accenture or Deloitte or a big firm. So let's talk about the complexity of that space first from systemically, what am I doing? I'm the partner. How do I get access to stuff? How am I different from A, B, and C? Paint the picture for me if you can, if that's not too vague.
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously you've got different size partner organizations and most people have the 80-20 rule, right? They're going to get 80% of the revenue from 20% of their partners. The great thing about training is it's very democratic. I can provide the same training to every one of my organizations. And if I, let's say I require 20% of your salespeople to be certified on our products, everybody has the opportunity to meet that goal. If you're Capgemini, you better train a hell of a lot of people. If you're somebody with 5 employees, then you just need one person to get certified. So it's very democratic, right? Everyone can reach that goal. And you need to set goals. You need to have gold, silver, gold, and platinum level partners that reach certain goals. And you need to kind of set them ahead of time and what your expectations are. Again, as Dan was talking about earlier, that's why you need reporting, not just in the manufacturer's organization, but in the partner organization. Because if you have these different levels that they can achieve, they need to see where they are and how they need to fill in the gaps. Right. And I think it's important to look at what is the goal of the training, right? How do you measure success? What is successful training look like? If it's just, I need to get certain people certified, that's one thing. But your goal, honestly, should be moving the financial needle. You should be increasing revenue, right? You should be getting more sales, quicker sales. That's how you really should be measuring this, because that's the whole reason we're in this business, right? Is to help organizations make more money. And if you're not doing that, and if your sales are flat and everyone's getting certified, you have a problem. You have a real problem and a gap, meaning that you're just delivering training as a checkbox. It's getting checked off, but you're not actually measuring the success that you expect to get from that training, which means you want to increase sales. You should demand that as a result of your training program. And so I think you kind of have to look at it in the back and then go forward from there. Because it's not just enough to meet your, it's not just enough to get the partners to meet the training and certification goals. You need to move that needle. You need to make sure that it's working. And you should, as a matter of fact, and Dan and I have talked about this before, my partners are selling my competitors' products as well, right? Mm-hmm. They don't call up and say, you know, I need 50 seats of McAfee. They call up and say, I need 50 seats of antivirus. And then that partner represents all the different companies. As a McAfee employee, you want those partners to make sure that McAfee gets that sale, that they push that. And that's what you want your training to achieve, to provide them with the information, the knowledge to make that decision and make that recommendation when the sale comes up, that you're the one that they want to refer to. So I think you need to look at how you measure success and make sure you're moving the needle on the financial side.
Yeah, before, Dan, we go on to the next subject, I also want to ask you both about, when we talk about revenue, we talk about sales, and that takes a couple, multiple dimensions. Actually, when you said success, I'm from customer success. I worked at Gainsight, and it's all like, it's burned into my brain now. So when I think about revenue, I also think about MAUs. And I know that, you know, as a representative of Atlassian, I know that adoption is another part of the scenario that our partners have impact over. So basically, you think about me and the things that I can do to affect revenue with inside the company. Now there's another ball around this, you know, like a sphere surrounding it, which is my entire partner ecosystem. And then what sometimes gets lost is that if I don't have partners that are not just, we want them to do the initial training and the implementation and get everything right, meaning all the systemic things behind the scenes to make sure, hey, you're using the software, it's great. There's that other piece too, which is now even more than ever, partners need to think about the component of revenue coming with CAC LTV, customer acquisition cost, LTV, you know, long-term value. And if they see a dashboard and go, hey, you know, we just saw an admin cycle out and they're the most important person at that company and they left. Now, as a partner, not the main company, triggers happen. They're on top of it and they're affecting our audience at scale and helping us all continue to grow because they're getting a part of that revenue just like my company. It's nuanced, right? I don't think I've heard too many people talk about both elements. And that's one of the things that's really important. You talk about net exam, like I'm giving somebody... Let's talk about access management now. This is a really good threat because, okay, now I'm a partner. And imagine, you know, again, I'll use Service Rocket as an, because I know they're in the ATP program. I used to be a Rocketeer. I still am friends and work with them all the time. And well, then I have a problem, right? Okay, I'm your partner, but I don't have the latest and greatest content. It's not really as easy for me to go, okay, let me lay a picture out. Dan, Brett, you're in a class for me. We're going to learn about Atlassian JSM. And there's a lab, right? And I need you both to have hands-on. We're going to be working for an hour. There's some on-demand stuff you're going to do in advance. And now, okay, now what do I do, right? This is what our program, you know, our ATP is all about. You do this for a living. But that is so important to get right. And you have to have some kind of, I need to trust you enough to say, okay, now Brett, you're the partner. And I go, okay, well, let's do the class. Now you have to go, okay, well, I can't depend on you, Dave, to set all this up for me. I need to be independent. I need to be able to schedule, book, see the results, do all this stuff. And that's where we get into that access management. Like, what does it look like now with a platform? And Dan, on top of this, your experience is about what am I doing as a partner, trainer or partner in an instance of net exam, for instance, what's going on here?
Okay. Let me go back just a little bit into what Brett was saying about, like, this conversation is a lot about, you know, the education, which is what it should be, the education side of partners. The bigger picture on partner is that whole revenue and initiatives and sales. They have a whole world going on outside of the training component, of which we're a piece of their total scorecard of success, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimate success is sales, but they also get measured on, like you're saying, like all these things like adoption and do they stay with the company and how are they doing on particular initiatives and different sales plays and things like that. So it's not just this is the training element of it. So that's the world we live in. But there's absolutely a person in a group controlling that bigger picture that we then intersect with, which then ties into this piece, right? So we need to be tied into every single initiative coming through the company and the partner program to know to make these things available to partners in our ecosystem, right? To get them.
Yep. As well.
Then we talk about the access thing, which is interesting, is because now they're not in your company, so you don't know when they come and go, right? Or when they change departments or anything like that. Mm. So you need to be able to know that. So ideally, you have some kind of interaction with each one of these companies that either ideally automatically take people in and out of your system, because if they're in and now they're working for a competitor, they have access to internal knowledge that you don't want them to have, right? So you want to automate that if you can. If you can't automate it, you need to have people that feel highly responsible in the company of constantly monitoring that access, right? Because it's very important, and it's somewhat difficult because they don't work in your company, right? So there's that side of access. And along with that front end process of the access, you need to know what they need access to, right? So like, okay, great. This person just joined their new company. What all do they need access to? That can be very specific, right? And it may even be timed. Like maybe you want them to do new hire stuff first, because the other part of this partner is they have limited time. Just sellers in general have limited time, right? But partners may be selling more than just your products, even less time. So you want them to be in there as fast as possible, and then focused on the thing to do as fast as possible. You don't want to show them your whole library of content. You want to know what they need to do today, right? So that's another thing that's really important is what is it? Get them to what they need to know as quickly as possible, right? And get them in and out of that as fast as possible. So get them access as fast, get them dialed in what they need to do, need to know when they need to do it, everything about it.
That's a really good point. And onboarding training for partners is critical. And it should be very simple. You should get them right to where, you know, here's where I file leads, here where I enter sales. It's not just important to onboard them to help them understand what they need to do, but you're setting a precedence at the very beginning of the relationship that says, I'm going to provide you with training. I expect you to complete the training as part of this relationship, and you're going to complete that, and then I'm going to provide you with more training. It's much easier to do that from day one than it is to go into a partner organization that's already up that hasn't had really much sent to it and say, okay, here's a bunch of training and we're going to require this to be updated every quarter or something like that.
Right.
Just start the relationship right away and say, look, training is part of this deal. We're going to give it to you. We're going to give you little pieces here and there, little nuggets along the way, but we expect you to complete this as part of this relationship, and go ahead and set that precedence right at the very beginning of the relationship.
Day one, because it's, think about your own first day at different companies, right? And like, you want to get started right away, right? And so they're trying to get started right away, and if they have to like search all over your internet and try to find the place to log in, they get the login and it takes 3 days to get access, like,
you're already
that's
losing.
That's normal. That's not, I'm not, you know, that's normal. But like, what if you could not do that? And you can work with your own company to make that not happen. Make them feel welcomed on their first day, because they are. They are like your salespeople. Like, treat them well and get them access as quickly. Make everything in their life as simple as possible. Because sometimes a partner is dedicated to you and they don't have a competitor on the line card. That's actually, that happens, and you can negotiate that. But if they do, right, what you want to do is win more than your fair share with this partner. And part of that is your relationship. And part of that is how easy it is to do business with you. And part of that is your content and all these different pieces, right? That's how you're going to win mindshare at the partner.
What kind of content are you talking about then? So let's move the discussion a little bit further. I think you've done a really great job talking about, okay, I'm a partner. I might have multiple partners. We have an instance of a training environment. It's focused on me. It's giving me the tools to do the things I want to do up to, and also including me now doing training on your behalf because I'm vetted and now I have all those assets and things. But now let's talk about more, okay, what does that open me up to? What's in my portal, for example? How am I using that for myself? And now I think going even further, what is the kind of stuff that we're telescoping out? Like, again, I'll bring context. Dan, you started in customer ad, right? Just like me, we have content, we built an academy, we've got all this stuff. Now we have all these assets we can leverage and reuse. Just by merit of having for net exam, you also do customer training. So like your knowledge management, content management example, we've got a library of all of this content. Now we're just focused on the partner. What's in that instance for the partner kinds of things they're going to do and how they differentiate from customers.
Do you want me to take that? Or Dane?
Let's
start with Brett, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
What we developed was something similar to a guidance counselor, so that users can come in and say, this is who I am, this is where I live, this is what industry I specialize in, and here's where I want to be in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the system will actually go in and create a custom-built syllabus for that individual to help them on that path, with a list of all the courses they need to achieve that goal. That's a really important feature we rolled out. And we actually did that when we engaged with Oracle, because they had such a giant course library and many products and so many courses that it didn't seem fair just to throw people to the wolves and go, just browse this catalog of 2,300 courses and pick what you want. We tried to figure out a way to try and understand what that individual was looking to achieve and build a learning path custom built for them.
That would help in that situation. We were a lot more prescriptive. So we worked with each partner manager. So part of it was new onboarding, which is like everyone needs the same day one. Then it was kind of like a 101 base level type content again that everyone needed, either from a sales perspective and or a technical perspective. It was like a curriculum, right, that you had. And again, you sectioned it up in very manageable chunks. Ideally, micro learning is good because they only just fit it in around their day, right? It's on demand. You could also then work with these. If you had a big enough group that needed it at the same time, then you move into like the day training or setting up at a VLT. But if they come in slowly, then having it on demand is big. And then they also have initiatives, right? So if you're driving an initiative, that would become a curriculum. So basically, we'd have curriculums based on initiatives, roles, needs, products, markets, and you'd be assigning those because, again, it was all about the business objective. What are you trying to do and achieve in this particular quarter or year? And those would be the ones you'd be assigning and driving. So to Brett's point, you have to do, even with the money factor, you still need to drive it, right, to get people off.
Right.
Yeah. So we did it in that way. But if we had even more partners, right, with different needs or a smaller team, we definitely have used the tool that Brett's talking
about. And we're seeing some pretty cool stuff on the customer side as well, especially with the advent of AI. So now you can have a situation where you've got your product training, you've got your onboarding training for customers to get them up and running as quickly as possible. But now with AI, you can have an AI agent peruse your support tickets.
Yeah.
Identify the issues that are most commonly raised and automatically create training around those items to reduce the support tickets. Because that's one of the big ways that you measure success with customer training is, are they calling into the support system? If that drops, you're succeeding. Because I guarantee you, if you're on the phone calling into support or on a website looking up answers, you're already frustrated. So preemptively beating that by using AI to identify what the most common problems are for new customers and then providing and then building training and putting that into the program when they onboard. That's just a huge step.
For partners as well, a lot of times what you're looking at is your partners become your first line of support for their customers. So you're looking to have less cases come in through the partners as well.
Yeah, you really are pushing training through the partners. The whole point of training a partner is to make sure the customer has a better buying experience, right? So you're pushing training through the partner to the customer. And one thing we're seeing as well is even situations where partners can use training as a lead generation tool, right? So I've got a customer, they're using one of my products. I send them a quick email through the NetExam system that gives them a little one-page PowerPoint or one-page PDF with a list of facts on what the upgraded version of this product does, right? They answer three quick questions, a little quiz at the end, and they automatically get a $10 gift certificate for Starbucks for coffee on us. But that drops into Salesforce as a qualified lead tied to the salesperson that generated that lead. So you're kind of creating this little ecosystem where you're using training as a marketing tool that is an arrow in the quiver of the partners' fight out there.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about that. So when you're talking about this, I feel like we're pursuing two distinct and separate threads. One is sales, one is the continued learning journey of everyone, right? So what I mean by
Interesting.
that is what they're both directly related, but they have different kinds of starting points. So when I think about that, like, okay, I'm going to put myself in the role of a real scenario. I think this is a good one to talk about out loud, especially with both of you on the call. Scenario from the past is, here I am working with as a partner, right? But I also I'm working on the revenue side to make sure, hey, I'm closing this big deal. We're implementing this platform. We're doing all this work. And one of the things that really gets little attention, and I think this is where we can have an interesting discussion about reporting and how all this stuff flows together, is that, okay, say I'm in this an account. It's a big account. I have thousands of seats. I'm the partner managing an account. I'm in relationship with in an ATP program for a big company. My team is doing the implementation. They're doing all the technical support. They're doing everything. And then you know what? They forget about training. We forgot training. But how do you do that? It happens all the time. It's nothing that you should feel bad about. It's something you should resolve. And that's where that partner is going. The part of my whole journey here is that, you know, that lead generation stuff goes several different ways. Okay, let's get into an account. We did our onboarding. We did an initial cohort onboarding. It was live. We had everybody come in. We did other point trainings with certain cohorts, the cohorts being, this is my administrator group. They really need to know this well. Here is my main manager sponsor group. They need to know what these people are doing and what the context is. And then we have the end user who doesn't even know any of this crap. And they just want to know what they need to know. Now, when you talk about hardcore scale, you're doing two things. One, I'm trying to get new revenue. Every customer internally by adopting, by learning goes, oh, we need this other thing. That's where the partner comes in and says, yeah, you're doing this and you're really overusing this. We need to get more seats. We need to do this stuff. And they're back and selling by proxy for us as the main company, right? And it's all a virtuous circle. We're bringing all this back. But that hard edge is also not just the training of the partner so they know, how do I sell? What do I sell? How do I be intelligent? And they're looking at a dashboard. It's also that customer needs to have kind of a report too to go, now I'm Dave, the partner person. Hey, Brett, you know what? You're the main sponsor, exec sponsor. You know what I'm seeing? Your team isn't really picking up training. You know, they're not adopting. And it looks like I don't know what the problem is. And my job is to let's do this, let's do this. I'm gonna script or curate training for them. And now I have control over that. Whereas now I can do that by proxy, blessed by the company I'm working in partnership with. So that's complicated.
Yes, but it's critical because if those customers aren't doing the basic training that's been provided, then you know there's going to be increased support calls and issues and frustrations, right? So having your kind of finger on the pulse of what's happening after I close the deal, it's really the full life cycle ownership of the product, right? How do I keep these people educated and trained the entire time they have this product? And I don't care what the product is. I don't care if you buy a refrigerator, having access to the training necessary to own that product, to update and fix and take care of that product during the life cycle of ownership is important to being a better owner. And I'm more likely to buy that brand again if I'm provided with all those things. And the easier it is to access, the better, right? If there's a QR code in my freezer I can scan that shows me how to change out my ice tray or something like that. I mean, that's super convenient.
That is.
Those little things I think those things are kind of expected now, really. I think it used to be those were really cool to have. I think people have gotten to where they just expect that kind of stuff these days, and they should.
Yeah. And any more about this complexity? And again, what I'm trying to tap into is I'm a partner working with a client. That client may even have their own little portal that I, as a partner, am now managing because I want my client to see the success or the failure. I want them to be informed.
There's
How can we reckon that?
I think there's a couple tracks to take, and it all depends. Sure. And it depends on a couple of things. One is your education department set up as a P&L or not? It's a, okay. It's a big one, probably the most significant one.
Yeah,
because your customer education department basically already has that, right? It's like, oh, you want to train a customer? We're right here, right? You want to get them, continue to train them? Talk to me, right? That's the customer education P&L model, right? So
right.
Your company may set it up where you don't want your partners to do that type of training. In fact, the only official engagements can come from certified customer education, either people internally or partners that they've certified to train, right? Which leads to the second part is like that partner, you may certify that partner to train, right? Which then you go through a deeper like certification program through Train the Trainer and various things like that, to make sure that they can really teach classes, right? And have teaching classes is different than pulling content and doing lunch and learns, right? There's a different skill set involved. And again, if the customer's paying for something, there's an expectation of higher expectation of quality that needs to be there, right? So if you're in a P&L, the customer's paying for it, you set up you direct them to have the company do it, or you know, and you negotiate all that continuously, and it's part of your adoption program, right?
Right.
If your customer education department is not a P&L, it's cost recovery, right? Now you can start to work into places where you might give the person content to go train. But again, you want it to be a positive training experience. So like you need to build that into your handing the content over, but in the same way that all your sales training and technical training go, like that's what certification is, right? It's basically, I'm giving you this stuff. We sat in class for 3 days. Did it work? Right. So now you're getting it back. So that's whether they're training a customer or selling to a customer or doing a lunch and learn, you need to validate it in some way if that's part of your business objective.
Yeah. Like I put that together. Brett, any additional thoughts on that? I mean, we're talking about a complex space.
Yeah, it's a nuanced effort, right? I mean, you want customers to enjoy the onboarding. You want them on day one to appreciate this product. And you need to be able to support them during the life cycle, the entire time they own this thing, right? And for as long as they own it. And you have to do that if you want them to rebuy, if you want them to come back and re-up or keep buying from your company. So I keep saying this whole life cycle of ownership, there needs to be that kind of support where the entire time I own this thing, whether it's 30 days or 30 years, I need to have access to information that's going to help me and not just how to use the damn thing. Right. How about things that can complement that? Right. How about if I buy something and yes, you train me on that thing, but then you train me on a dozen other things around it that will help make me use that more often, right? If I buy a travel trailer to go take my family camping, how about if you provide me with books that tell me all the greatest campsites around the country, right? Or send me reminders of the best time of year to go to Colorado when the snow melts, right? What can you do to help me get the most out of the use of this product that might go above and beyond just the basic information I need to know about how to use that product?
And that's where the customer success roles come in, right? They're monitoring these companies and seeing how your customers are using it. And then they're identifying, hey, here's a new feature. This is how it could possibly affect this business. Or here's a new piece of information. They're constantly with the customer trying to help get them to expand their usage of the product, right? And sometimes that turns into training.
Yeah, more often than not. And then you also, I found this really interesting space here in this whole partner ecosystem, because we're talking a lot about a lot of different things. You know, again, how do I train the partner to sell, to implement, to do all the things and basically be one of us, but not. And then how do we use those as an extension of our business to go to that next level, right? Because now they can do the things, but now the next level is kind of a customer success play. And, you know, I'm really interested to see how maybe this might be a good time, because we're getting time check in. We're about an hour in. We go a little bit longer. And what I'd really like to do is come back to the platform and and talk more about, okay, what are some of the key things that address challenges in a unique way, better than anything else out there? You know, how do we really differentiate more? We've already talked about that, but maybe go over a few more things and then get into some more of the details, because again, I'm getting into the platform where I have to need, I'll make it a little bit about the space I'm in, but I know others are in. We really need to add into our tech stack the ability to manage that partner ecosystem, but it's not just a partner thing. It taps into sales. It taps into, you know, our technical team, our onboarding team. It taps into our customer success. It taps into product. And what I'm trying to say is it's not just one thing.
Yeah,
Tell me more about the platform again. Like, what are some of the things that you've already just said a few of them, but I'm starting a program out. I need to do partner training. What's going on here?
Well, I'll tell you about one thing that's proved very popular. We rolled out about 2 years ago, and that is video pitches. Just because I provide, you know, all this information on these products and you can memorize all these numbers doesn't necessarily translate into you representing my company well. So now students, partners can go online, use their phone or their laptop, just the way we're doing now, and say, pitch me on XYZ product. And then maybe you got 30 seconds. You have a minute to submit, and then you submit that video. And then what NetExam does is it uses an AI algorithm to grade that video on product knowledge, on your attitude, whether you were sullen or happy or whether you were positive. And it actually gives a grade on the things you need to improve that pitch, because that's one of those last 5-yard things that you can't control of a partner organization is, how are they on the phone? How are they in person? Did they ask for a contract at the end of the opportunity? Did they mention our competition and where we stand out? That's been a very, very popular one. And it's, we've got several different ways. Number one, we instantly grade it using an AI algorithm, but also you can grade it by having different people in the organization and the manufacturing company review it, or you can even socially grade it where all the students can actually come in and look at other people's and grade those as well. So that's been a very popular thing, because I think that's one place where most manufacturing organizations didn't have a view into how they were being represented in person when the sale opportunity came about.
That's significant, because you know, enablement, Dan, you know, you'd see some products that were similar to that. I think of standalones out there. I think Bungo was one of them that have been trying to do some of that kind of stuff, but I want it in the platform, right? And we're easy to get to. It's really important, because otherwise what was I doing for partners? We'd get them all in house. We'd feed them and keep them up for a week. Or make them pay for it even more, because it's an opportunity. That's a lot of time investment. And then I'd have to sit there and watch them pitch me. And that's huge labor, when AI now can really do a great job of that. It's looking for keywords and looking for tone, looking for confidence. And yeah, I can do it as a human being, but I'm not consistent and I'm biased. I could say, yeah, Jane over there, she's awesome. But then Jane goes through that system and, well, the system didn't agree because it's objective. It's huge.
Yeah. And the latest thing we've rolled out actually takes that one step further and turns that one-way video into an actual AI conversation with an AI agent. So the AI agent comes in and says, you know, I own a travel agency. I've got 50 employees. We're based out of Nebraska, and we're looking for some antivirus software. What do you recommend? And then the partner does their pitch. Now it's a conversation just like we're having right now, where the information is collected, it's transcribed, it's analyzed, it's graded, and then a follow-up question comes back. So, hey, that's great. I see that your pricing is about 20% higher than your competitors. Why is that, right? And then so it goes back and forth. And then towards the end of the conversation, I say, okay, we're thinking about buying one of our competitors that's 10 times the size of us. Now, what would you recommend? So it requires partners to think on their feet. And it's not just about memorizing slides and numbers and information like that. It's analyzing that back and forth, give and take conversation. Are you listening to the customer? And are you working on a solution using your product, using their terminology? And I think that's really the next step where it's going. It's getting people to prove their worth in a real environment instead of just here's a slide deck with a bunch of numbers you need to memorize and spit back out to the customer.
How does that translate into the next level of that, which is physically showing I know how to do something, not, you know, make, that's the other side of the talking.
Yeah. So are you talking about physically, like showing how a product's used or something like that?
Yeah, like a, like I'm now a partner going through a virtual lab experience,
yeah,
which I might again in turn offer as a partner to a third party.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the confidence of like, how would I exhibit my expertise with AI to show, oh yeah, I can navigate through this and I understand how to get through labs. And now you're turning around and actually using those labs and running classes with a third party, like I did with you.
Yeah. And you can do that. You can use AI to analyze the log files. And we've been doing labs. We did labs with McAfee, hell, 15 years ago. Where in order to get certified, they had to connect to a remote, a virtual machine that was infected. They had to unpack the antivirus. They had to analyze it. They had to run it. And then they had to, and then the clean, we would analyze the log files to make sure they went through all the steps that were required. And one thing at the time, McAfee actually required third-party certifications, which we did as well. So you had to complete three courses at McAfee, but you also had to submit your ID from a Cisco certification that you achieved externally and submit that ID. And then that would be part of the prerequisite that we would accept. So it gets complex when you think about all the different ways you can create a training program.
That's really cool. Okay. Here, I know I want to get you out the door here in a little bit here, but I also want to do like one more thing where, you know, Brett, I think you've done a really good job talking about some of the key. We didn't want to make this a demo. This is not what it's about. We're talking about the craft and how to be successful. And we're talking really about building an awareness. And I appreciate what I've seen and the demos I've done and the fact that even your CTO has been really open and helpful, Himanshu, of like going into the weeds and really making sure it makes sense. Yeah. And I see the value in this. Well, I think it might be a good...
He's the best, isn't he?
He is the best. But I think it'd be a really good way to come out of this and give value to the audience even further is, of course, at the end, you know, demo all you guys. But Dan, I'd like to pivot a little bit to you and talk about some best practices and allow you to exposition a little bit of, from your experience working with this platform, probably similar ones. Okay, I need to do a partner training program. I'm kind of an enablement. Flesh out the space a little bit for me and tell me what some of the best practices would be, maybe even in context of NetExam.
Maybe NetExam agnostic on this answer.
That's good.
Please.
So, and then a lot of just stuff, just reiterating things from earlier, right? Is then the one key is the partners don't work for you, right? And so they have a lot of competing things in their space. So everything you can do to keep it simple is important. So that's the UI, even the content itself, right? If it's ideal to make the content identical to your internal people, because then it's apples to apples for your customers. They go, oh, that person, the internal person is taking the same thing as the salespeople take at the company. Perfect, right? Certifications are the same. It's like one-to-one. That content story works for the partner and the customer and the company, right? So keeping it consistent is good. It also saves you a bunch of time on your content development, yes, right? And your certifications, makes it less complex. You're not managing all these complicated things, right? So keep those things consistent, the better. That's one.
There might be some pricing differences.
There's another but in here in that, like you mentioned the different types of partners, right? So there's like a mere partner and you have one that kind of like has you in a mix of other stuff. If something's technically complex, right, you may have to simplify the sales story or the technical story for that type of partner. You might create a type of content that's not as highly So that's a thing. It's all the things are going to go towards making it simple and fast for the partner, right?
Right.
Not showing your internal business units, like your taxonomy, just like for customers, should not showcase what your internal structure looks like. It should be based on finding things in a simple way, right? The same, customers should not see your company when they look at the website. Your LMS should map to your website, like everything needs to be simple for them, right?
Right.
Data needs to be accurate. That's a thing.
That's a crucial one, especially over time, because people don't like to update the training content. And again, another place where AI can come in and help a lot.
And there's a ton of, there's a surprising amount of versioning that goes on, actually. Like, but if you do internal, then you know it. But like versioning is humongous when it comes to this, because someone's going to get credit for something. They need to maintain credit for that thing. So versioning is big.
And you can't abuse that. You can't reversion your training five times a year and expect your partners to come in and retrain five times a year.
Right. So it's kind of like I'm using this certification light in that, okay, I've got, we're coming up on another year. We're going to go through a renewal. You have to take this, this, and this. This has been updated. Go look at that. It's kind of like a delta training, like a bump training, right? In a difference from certification, whereas now I've actually got to study and I have to master that content.
But you can't bury them with deltas either, right? Every time there's an update, you can't require them to come in. You're just going to abuse them, and it's going to sour the relationship. So yeah, you need to come up with a set rule that says, look, we're going to require them to get certified once a year, maybe one delta a year, and that's it. Yeah. And the timing of when they come in is determines which delta they get. But you can't you cannot abuse that relationship, or you'll hear about it.
Now, systemically, can you put that on a cadence in, and this is platform specific, but now I'm in NetExam and I'm building the system that you're talking about, Dan, and now I can put that on a life cycle like I would in a certification program.
Yeah. And I'd say that the thing is, so a lot of times when you have a partner program, they don't have to take as many certifications as your internal people. Again, because they have so, think of how many certifications this person has to own across all these product lines, right? So you're not going to say, you need five. You're going to say, you need two, right? So that's another thing. And going back to the day one, right? Make someone's day one as pleasant and frictionless as possible. Customers, like internal partners, everybody.
Yeah. One thing I'd add.
You really do set the tone with that.
Yeah.
One thing I'd add, and I saw in the show notes that is really important, Dan, is my personal relationship with partners has always been really open and trusting, but you have to get there. Yeah. That somebody says, oh, I want to be your partner. Cool. Okay. Well, now as we develop rapport, I used to be a management consultant, and that whole concept of trusted advisor, trusted partner was so important to me, because as a partner, then I was working for big ISPs, big companies, and I had to take all these certifications and do all these things to show I'm the real deal. I'm trained in project management. I'm trained in business analysis. I'm trained in enterprise security. Now I'm your guy and you can trust me with stuff. Plus I know how to compose myself and work in a business environment. You can trust me.
Yeah.
You know?
So that trust, that was in the notes too. Yeah. Is that, so people that are internal naturally trust each other because they work with each other. Right. And so they do have to take certifications and tests, but they kind of naturally go, hey, I know Jim or Bob and he's really smart. So he's good. Right.
Right.
Now, this external person, I don't know them. So are they really selling for us? So like all the things Brett was talking about, like, yeah, they're selling for us and look how good they are. We can prove it and we can show it. And the certifications do the same thing, and taking the same trainings do the same thing. So once you can show that people are getting the same level of knowledge and they're achieving the same level of knowledge, then the trust starts to be a little bigger and feel more real.
Yeah. And it comes back the other way too, because you could find your partners going, hey, you know what? I see this needs to be updated. Can I work with you to update the specific content because I'm your premium partner? And that loops back into the work that I'm doing, building even more trust.
If any content development work, I would include them as an advisor because they have a perspective that's different than internal, and I wanted to hear it.
Yeah. You're also going to run into situations where you might put out a requirement that all of your partners reach some level of certification, and then your premier partners come back and say, no, we're not going to do that. We don't have the time. It's not like you're going to fire that partner, right? I mean,
that's
they
right.
Make up a huge chunk of your revenue. You don't have that flexibility or control. You encourage them to try and get the certification, but if they say no, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
you're not going to can them because they don't meet that one thing. If they're generating hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue for you.
You know, I had another thought, and then I'll give you a little space and we'll check out for the day. But the other thought is, okay, we've talked a lot about partners, but one thing we haven't talked about is this. We're talking about the last mile. The last mile is however we get there, we have a customer, a company that uses our software. And we're building this whole notion of customer success, support, marketing, partner. All of this, I like calling a big hug, right? It's, we got you. And the other end of that, when we're trying to achieve scale at the biggest level, partners allow us to execute at a level of scale. And that's that first inflection point after we've gotten our product market fit and we're past the crossing the chasm that Jeffrey Moore would talk about. And now customers, we're growing to a huge field. And the other edge is, could my customer also take advantage of this partner ecosystem as well? Basically, I'm training the trainer as a person inside a company who are now basically kind of an internal partner. Is that a thing?
We've done that. I've done it before.
It can be, but there's probably going to be some differences in the content, right? Because my partner training is going to identify who my direct competitors are and why we're better than them.
Right.
I'm probably not going to want to roll that out to my customers. Just
I don't know if that's definitely
a real benefit. They've already bought the product and maybe it's going to make them kick some other tires. I don't want them kicking. There'll be some subtle differences, but you can parse, you know, courses into lessons and learning objectives and just pull the ones out that aren't necessary for the partner and add ones that partners need, right? Like, how do I file a reorder? How do I request a part to get fixed? Maybe the partner organization doesn't need that. Because remember, as Dan said, you've really got a limited amount of time. You need to get the most out of the time that you take. And you need to take as little time as possible to make sure they are properly representing the product. But you can't abuse that, man. That'll bite you in the ass. It really will.
Yeah, I've been there.
I mean, because if I require, you know, an hour and a half worth of training for each partner, and McAfee has 75,000 partners, think about how much time they're not selling or out there doing other things. And also think about the other 15 antivirus companies that are putting training requirements on all those exact same people.
Right.
That's a very fine line to walk.
Yeah.
I'll add a little tweak, like a minor layer to that. That's interesting that in the world of training, you're thinking about, oh, people coming to classes or taking online stuff. But like sometimes like all these like calls and meetings and things like that, that are like kind of informational, also fit into the space of time. So when you're thinking about how much time you're taking, look at that as well.
Yeah. And we actually created a tool called an informal learning tracker, which allows you to give people credit for those type of things, right? So lots of learning's going on. I'm learning from you guys on this call. Anyone who's watching this blog is learning something, right? So the idea that you can give people credit for knowledge transfers that don't fit conveniently into a lesson, a learning objective, and an exam. So we built a mobile app where you can actually scan a QR code of an individual and give them points. And the reason we came about this was we were working with Stanley, and Stanley has a division, Stanley Tools. They have a division that they built for hospitals. They gobbled up a bunch of companies that built things for outfitting hospitals. So if you wanted to build a hospital, you can go to Stanley and get damn near everything you need. They've got tools for software for, you know, tracking the nurses as they walk through the building to determine where they need to situate certain things so they reduce walking time. But they also have the little ankle bracelets they put around newborn babies so they don't get kidnapped out of the nursery. Right. And so they came to us and said, look, we install these things, right? We install the alarms around the doors, and we want to send our new guys out with our seasoned veterans and spend the week learning how to do an install. And at the end of that week, we want the mentor to be able to give credit to the student. So that's how we initially built the app. And then we realized this app has so many other opportunities, right? Maybe I hear someone do a great sales call or a support call in the support system, or maybe someone attends a conference and goes to different breakout sessions, and I want to give them credit for the breakout session.
Right.
all sorts of different, we call it informal learning tracking, where you can give credit to people for all these little nuanced things that happen, where knowledge is being transferred, but it's not formally built into the learning management system. Pretty cool little tool. The great thing about it is that you don't have to create new content. You're just giving people credit for the content you're already giving them.
Yeah. So NetExam also has a data upload piece. So like every time we would run a sales conference, we'd log when everyone went to and load it up into the system and give them credit for this. So like it didn't have to run through NetExam in order to get credit in NetExam.
That is really cool because I was at an event working with a company on the floor, right? They trained me and I was working with people. I got so much learning out of that experience. And then the people that came up to me, it could have been you want to learn more? Click this, right? And that goes into like an educational qualified lead that goes along with the sales, SDL, whatever, all the metrics we're trying to get people, but they learn something. That's a really neat way to close out this discussion.
It doesn't have a name. It's not packaged, but somebody ought to get credit because they took the time.
They took the time. Yeah. And those are amazing moments. Yeah. When you get, I remember being at a big ISP, which will remain nameless. And I was sitting in a conference room learning about network topology and how all the internet drains work and how all the security, and this guy is a physicist, right? He works for the networking part of a company. And I'm like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And the guy that was sitting next to me was one of the main architects. He's like, the whole time. But if I could have done that and said, man, all these experiences don't really add up to anything, but I've seen these people and met these people and learned this stuff and have gone so deep, that should have somehow congress into additional, Dave's been really busting it out there.
Yeah,
and learning all this extra stuff in addition, and he's
showing up.
Points. Yep, showing
you
up for the job.
Credit.
I like that. Okay, guys, we've gone almost an hour and a half here. I really appreciate you going along with me because this is an interesting way. We've got some best practices. We've talked about both the platform and even more so the space and the problem set. Mm-hmm. So for the both of you, I'll start with Dan. Anything else you want to tell the audience, share with the audience? One pagers, tips, ticks, tricks, things that we can connect you with.
I don't really have any additional other than the ones I shared so far. And I would like to keep it simple to just those because it's,
Let's go.
There's a lot of nuances. It can get a little complicated, but the key one I think is to keep it simple.
Keep it simple. And anybody can reach out to you on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look me up on LinkedIn. My name, Dan Boyle. I connect with me. I enjoy talking about all forms of training. If you have a question or if you just want to chat, I'd be happy to do that.
Look amazing. With you. Awesome. And Brett, anything else you'd like to say before we exit the show?
I would just say to all those folks out there that are trying to get by partner training using an LMS that really wasn't built for it, just to consider all the factors. Reach out to us, give us a call. We'd love to just have an open discussion about where the gaps might be and what we can do to help fill that.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Okay, gentlemen, thank you once again. And for our audience, this is where I say, hey, we're on the way out the door. If you want to learn more, remember, we have a podcast website at customer.education. Easy to remember, easy to go to. There we've got all our episodes, show notes, and all the other stuff. So check us out there. And we also have a customer education community that we've been developing where you can connect and learn from, share your ideas. We're really active on LinkedIn. I'm there. All of you guys are there. So connect with us. You see us post to C-Lab. You see me post. Special thanks to Alan Cota, who maintains and makes our amazing music. And this helps you out. As always, hey, get out there on your platform of choice and give us a 5-star rating. That really helps us and it helps us expand. Our mission here is to help all of you learn, connect, and more than anything, get out there. Thanks for joining us. Go out, educate, experiment, learn, grow, try new things, and find new people. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.